Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel once more. I'm commenting on the election result in South Africa. Well, it was widely seen that the ANC was going to lose its majority, but in fact the defeat was even more decisive than I had foreseen, than most people had forecast. So the African National Congress, founded way back in, I think, 1910, to campaign for the rights of the black majority in South Africa. The South African government for decades is at meetings with them as an exclusively white government. In 1962, the ANC began using force to try and achieve racial equity through the armed wing Umkhonto weSizwe. Anyway, Nelson Mandela was their leader, in prison for many years. And in 1994, South Africa got democracy, that every adult got a vote with equal value, regardless of race, and the ANC won decisively. And Nelson Mandela was the first president under that system, then Thabo Mbeki, then it was Jacob Zuma, and then I can't remember who was before Cyril Ramaphosa. So Ramaphosa is an ANC veteran. He risked his life fighting against apartheid because the whites monopolized power. Anyway, there were no racial exclusivities allowed anymore. So the ANC has been in office for an awfully long time. And I think it's Mandela, when I read his autobiography, Long Walk of Freedom, he said that expectations were stratospherically high, impossible to fulfill in 1994. So achieve reconciliation and all the rest of it, that was good. And in some ways, the economy kept going. But in many regards, the ANC has been an enormous disappointment. And people who were in it in the 1980s, they had to be committed to believe in it because they were risking their lives in many cases. Even they weren't, if they were arrested, they're often severely beaten up, tortured, so we could be spending years in a ghastly penitentiary. But people joined it subsequently, partly because they shared the ideology, but also out of sheer opportunism. They just wanted to be on the winning side. And there's been a lot of peculation, a lot of bribe-taking. So speaking to a white South African saying the old system of exclusionary policies was unjust and unsustainable, but the trouble is we knew that we transitioned to so-called majority rule. Like in every other African country, things are going to go down the pan and the roads wouldn't be maintained and the railways wouldn't be maintained and infrastructure wouldn't be kept up and bribery would become endemic and so forth. And so it's proved. Now, South Africa is by no means as bad as most other countries and it's still a democracy and nobody disputes the outcome of the election. They are valid results and they've had observers from the African Union and it's better than almost anywhere else in sub-Saharan Africa. And the economy has improved and everybody's better off than they were 30 years ago, even if only slightly. So the black working class are those who were the vote bank for the ANC and they've been let down, which is why so many of them switched to the economic freedom fighters led by a racist called Julius Malema, or to Umkhonto weSizwe as in Spirit of the Nation, led by the erstwhile ANC president, Jacob Zuma, meaning Spirit of the Nation. That was the name of the armed militia of the ANC in the apartheid era. And there's obviously the problems with power shortages. So the power stations are just not being kept up. Most of the engineers were white, a lot of them retired off, not enough black engineers have qualified subsequently. There's other things. A lot of the upper middle class left the country since 1994. The time the apartheid ended, whites were 16% of the population. They're now 7% of the population, partly they didn't have fewer children. Moreover, the life expectancy of the black communities has got longer, which is why the black majority is getting to be a bigger and bigger majority. But amongst the whites, the highly educated people, a lot of them left because they thought the situation's going to deteriorate very drastically indeed. In fact, it wasn't as bad and suddenly came back after several years. But they moved abroad to get citizenship or just as expatriates, moved to Australia, the United Kingdom, the United Arab Emirates, and so on. Whether they were, you know, doctors, accountants, teachers, engineers, whatever. So there was a bit of a brain drain. And obviously, black people can do these jobs and indeed do these jobs. But there was a bit of a problem initially like that. But South Africa is still better than almost anywhere else in Africa, partly because of its extraordinary mineral riches. That's what attracted European immigrants to it from the late 19th century onwards. So the ANC is still the largest party by quite some way, with 41% of the vote. But they were getting well over 60% some years ago. And so the Democratic Alliance, the DA, is the second biggest party, but they're well behind. You know, so the ANC's got only 41% of the vote, and whereas the DA has got 22% of the vote. So the DA was often perceived as a white party, as a coloured party. In South Africa, people who are mixed race are not regarded as black. They're called coloured as a separate category. You know, one parent is black and one parent is white, the person's called coloured. That's not meant to be disparaging or anything. If the person's three quarters black and a quarter white, again, the person's called coloured. And they're a significant human community, but they're often descended from Khoisan people rather than Bantu people, because the Dutch immigrants after 1652, they were overwhelmingly male. They often intermarried with indigenous women, and the progeny of such marriages or relationships were known as coloured people, speaking Afrikaans, that language that evolved from Dutch, and so on. And so they're a distinct community, but often proud of having some Afrikaner heritage perceived as white adjacent by some. So a lot of them vote for the ANC. They're often found in the Western Cape province. And Jacob Zuma is a Zulu, and in his home province of KwaZulu-Natal, his party, Umkhonto we Sizwe, did very, very well. The Economic Freedom Fighters, EFF, and they are extreme left, extremely anti-white, and they express the frustration, a lot of people, that there's still such penury. Why such impecuniosity for so many people? 30% of the people are unemployed. So it's a really damning indictment of the ANC. That technology has moved on and some things have got better. And it's good that there's free speech, which there wasn't before, and fair trials, and the police don't torture people and stuff like that. And they do have free and fair elections. And obviously, there's no racial humiliation of the black majority. Everybody can go anywhere. You can go to beaches and parks and cinemas, and people are allowed to marry whoever they want and so forth. So it's definitely better than the apartheid era. But there have been other catastrophic failures of the ANC. For a while in the 1990s, I think I'm right in saying South Africa had the highest murder rate in the world. In the world. Out of 193 countries, it was the absolute worst. Now, it's not the very worst, but it's still very, very bad. And I've spoken to a lot of Springboks saying we have to live behind razor wires and gated communities of panic alarms, have armed guards with dogs all around. It's very, very dangerous, a lot of carjackings. And the police are kind of useless. They're hugely understaffed. They're poorly trained. They don't respond very well. There are loads of private security companies we have to rely on, and things like that. And then partly there's a huge wealth gap. So what's the solution? I mean, tax the rich even more? Probably. On the other hand, if that was helping the needy, that would be a good thing. But I think a lot of it is going to go into the back pockets of certain politicians and bureaucrats, and the money will be squandered. So the ANC needs a coalition now. They're casting around. Now, if they form a coalition with the Economic Freedom Fighters or Umkhonto we Sizwe, there's going to be a turn to the far left. They don't want to endorse the DA. Could the DA one day be the governing party? And it could, but I think even not in the next election. It'd have to be another major improvement and have to have coalition with others. But it's difficult to see who they'd coalesce with. For the EFF, they're absolutely unacceptable. EFF say, oh, really, it's just a continuation of apartheid under another guise. Umkhonto we Sizwe, I don't think we'd touch them with a barge pole. So it'd be quite a long time. So the EFF often perceived as a white party, but they've had a black leader for quite some time. Anyway, it's actually a hopeful thing that a part of the ruling party can lose its majority. It shows that South Africa is a genuine democracy. The government is accountable to the people, who can hire and fire people, and underperformance is punished at the polls. But a lot of people were so elated with the dissolution of apartheid that we're going to vote the EFF for ANC no matter what for a generation. And that generation has passed. We talk about the born frees. Those are born after April 1994, as in after the termination of apartheid, have no memory of that. And they can't keep rewarding the ANC for what was done decades ago. A lot of the younger ANC cadres were not born then, were children then, so they don't deserve to be rewarded for the risks they took to bring to then this system of racist discrimination. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon and donate on PayPal with the greatest possible generosity. So on PayPal, you'll find me as georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Bye.